Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. How could you not know him? He is the now former TNA Digital Media Championship. And I guess you could argue that the championship is sort of former in a sense. It's PCO. How are you doing, first off?
I'm doing great. What about you?
I'm doing good. This is going to be an interesting conversation. I know very little about the direction of what we're talking about, but you did agree to speak with us because you have been a very popular topic of conversation. You appeared on GCW's show and smashed the digital media championship belt of TNA's, of which you held. People in GCW said that they didn't know that it was going to go to that extent. What can you tell us about what led up to this moment and why exactly this happened?
Well, exactly. I'm going to take, of course, I'm very upset at TNA's new management, but I got to take full responsibility because I should have seen the red flags before, and I should have asked for my, whatever, just get off my contract and just ask them to release me, ask for my release. And I felt like I was in my comfort zone a little bit because this TNA roster was the best dressing room that I was part of, the best roster. I mean, as far as like no backstabbing, no crazy pranks or
heard a lot of people talk about how great that locker room was. Yeah,
such a nice locker room. And then the production team, like, they're specialists on skating on thin ice. They do miracle with little, so I like them a lot. And creative wise, like, creative team, I got along good with everybody. Actually, in 2024, I had the most wins on pay-per-views with Jordan Grace and Moose with 9 wins. So that was the end of 2024. That sounds crazy, thinking that now I'm sitting here talking to you without a contract with TNA. That's pretty out of the ordinary, right?
Yeah.
So I go back to Slammiversary because I was trying to cut a promo after I smashed that belt with the sledgehammer, and they were trying to take it away from me. So I said I've sold out the biggest house in TNA history I wanted to say the Anthem history. So since Hulk Hogan in 2012, that was the biggest house. Now, if you go ahead now today and you say TNA has their biggest house in Dallas, I don't think it was in Dallas on the same night or the 19th of January. Well, it's been announced it's a partnership with WWE. So from now on, I think all the houses, if they grow bigger, it's WWE. You know, it's not anymore TNA. It's been announced that they have a deal for 3 years. So I go back to Slammiversary, and every day I'm fighting with the new management about going from 2,000 people to 4,000 people. And I cannot understand. The building costs you the same. The security costs you the same. The talent, the flight, the hotel. You can only increase your revenue. So I could not understand. Why aren't we going to 4,000? And they would come up with all kinds of excuses like, usually when we get a great start, it flattens out. Usually this, usually that. Wrestlers, when they promise a sellout, they always do, but they never do. You know, they always do promise, but they never come across with the result. So, because I have to go back before Slammiversary, when we booked the arena and we booked the date, I was in the office and I promised them. I said, I shook their hands. I looked at them in the eye and I gave them my word that it was going to be a sellout. So after the first day that the tickets were on sale, we had like over 800 tickets sold. And I said, we'll see how it keeps going, but it was keeping growing. And when the timing was right, I felt to say, we're going to 4,000 people now to the full arena. Now they were worrying about the Sunday. What if Sunday we don't have nobody? And then I had to fight for the Sunday on top of selling out the Saturday now. So it was always a fight. So they were saying, when we get more tickets sold on the Sunday, then we're going to open up. But by the time you open up, you lost the buzz because it's a timing for everything. And the timing was right, not because I told them the timing was right, because I was here doing every radio shows, TV shows. I was taking the pulse of how the people felt, and I knew when was the right timing to say, we're going full house now. That was going to create an excitement. An extra excitement. And they might have waited like another 3 weeks after I was telling them to go full house because they were worried about Sunday. So all I would know that, the pulse and everything, we went to the Alouette Games, which is the football here, and we were doing something with the mascot just before the game. And it was on TV. And I remember I was talking with the PR guy at TNA, and he said, you cannot clothesline the mascot. And I told him, yes, I do clothesline the mascot because I've been working with the Alouettes for a long time. I know that Touche. No, he said, you're going to turn heel if you do that. I said, no, I know my market, believe me. And I swear to God, Sean, when I clotheslined and I took off his head almost, that mascot, the whole stadium started to chant PCO, PCO. That was the greatest feeling ever because I was telling him, I know the market there. It's different from the other markets, you know? So from the buzz at the Alouettes game, because it was like a lot of people there, like 20,000 people, I knew that we would have a. I was telling the PR guy, you don't hear them, you don't hear the excitement, like how the people are involved. So So that's where I'm talking about red flags. I felt like I had no help. I felt like I was kind of left alone. And it was hard to get something. Like, I asked for a budget for radios. Yeah. They said, no, we don't believe in radio anymore. We believe in social media. And then I said, well, I see traffic every morning back and forth, you know, because I'm in the traffic every morning. People are listening to something. So just things like that. So eventually we did the press conference. You were there. You asked me a few questions, and we delivered. It was a hell of a house, right? It was good.
It was. It was great.
And also, we always lose a little bit of the atmosphere with the production. There's something that's not like WWE. So we're losing a little bit. Like, when if you're there in person, it was the double of what you could hear on pay-per-view. So it was, and it was the first time that I saw so many, I mean, first time in a while I saw so many journalists and people from movie industry, Quebec movie industry, or, you know, shows, or all kinds of comedians and radio hosts and TV hosts. So it was good. So they acknowledged the fact that I worked hard, but, you know, it was a struggle. It was a fight every day. And when I say, oh, I've sold out the biggest house in TNA, I don't mean I put my name on the marquee and it's going to sold out like that. When I said I've sold out, I meant by that I worked for it, you know.
You promoted it.
I probably had like 2-3 hours of sleep per night. I went all over the province of Quebec, which is big. It's probably 8 hours to cross on the one side and maybe 10 hours, 12 hours on the other side. And I did every little place, and we did the contest drawings. We did the pop-up, meet with the fans everywhere, meet and greet, all kinds of things. Like I said, the football, the soccer, the we did also the basketball, the face-off, all kinds of things I did, you know. Radio, morning show, the return, afternoon shows. I did them on region and in Montreal itself. So when I say I've sold out, that's what I did, because I worked my ass.
Yes.
Not because I'm just a marquee name and someone can write, oh, Hulk Carl Ouellette said so, you know, whatever. So they gave me a bonus, and I said, that's cool. With that bonus, I will be able to pay the team that helped me out to, you know, do the work and everything. So I was able to give money to people that really helped me out, sold out the arena, and it was a lot of work into it. So we go in November 8 and 9 in Fayetteville. Yeah, I'm just looking at my note because I want to make sure. It was November 8 and 9. It was in Fayetteville, North Carolina, for TV tapings. And I see the vice president. And then, you know, we talk about my contract for 2025. And it's like, yes, Carl, for sure. We'll resign you. Then I lay down the foundation. I said, pretty simple and clear. I said, I'd be happy, you know, if the same salary and the same condition as 2024, and for the inflation, maybe just, you know, just bump me to better seats on my flights or something like that. He said, yeah, sure. And I said, just work on the contract and send it to me so I can sign it and then return it to you. You can countersign and everything. So then on the 29th, it was WrestleCade. WrestleCade, I had to miss because I have like a lot of personal issues and family personal issues that were really, really serious and really bad. So I couldn't go to WrestleCade on the November 29th. And got a text message from the management. Hey, Carl, just checking in. Missing you at WrestleCade. So that was like kind of cool, you know. And then it was hope everything is well in the family. So nice message like that. So I'm pretty confident after that. It's the last show of the year, final resolution, December 13th, 14th. So I get there. So I called before. I said, what about the contract? They said, we'll discuss that on the 13th in Atlanta. So I get to Atlanta. I see everybody coming in and out of the office, and I see some people quitting, and it's, you know, it's pretty, it seems to be like a tough day. So I walked in and they told me what we discussed in Fayetteville. We can't do that anymore. It's going to be a different deal. So
from the one that you originally pitched to you. Yeah,
from the one in Fayetteville that they changed it. So we already shook hands on it. And for me, you know, I'm like very old school, like a handshake. You give me your word and you look at me in the eye. For me, it's a done deal, you know. It's a promise, you know. Especially if you say I promise you, it's even more of a promise. So I'm surprised, but I'm listening, and then I can't believe what they're...
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Changing the deal to the new one. So I said, I don't think I can accept that, but I'm going to think about it tonight. I'll be back with my answer tomorrow. But one thing for sure is I would like for you to give me your words that, and it was something totally not about money. I cannot disclose what it is. Mm-hmm. But I say, I need you to help me out with those papers. It has to be signed by the company. And they said, of course, Carl, with everything you've done, Montreal and everything, it's impossible for us. And that was just for the extension for me to go drop the titles on the 23rd in San Antonio. So that was just on the promise, like, besides the money. And I shook hands with them, and they promised me, like, big promise, that they were going to take care of that. And on top of that, I worked that night. I came back for the next show, the next TV taping. It was the pay-per-view that night, so I worked. Even though my head was not all there, that's the kind of business, you know. And on the Sunday, just almost before going to the ring, I said, I'm willing to lower my money and to be paid for all the shows throughout the years.
So you were willing to accept less money but more dates that way to even it out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then, so they said, oh, it's important for you to be on TV. I said, yeah, money is TV equals money too, you know, like it's a good production. I'd like to be featured on the show. And so far, you've been taking care of me very well. And I'm hopeful that 2025 will be as good. So we shook hands again. And that was the last time. So that was like the third time, plus the other side promise, you know, the day before that was supposed to be there. So we were cool for 2025 for a full deal now, for a whole year. And I took a pay cut. So I've wrestled the main event and I got concussed. So I'm trying to get my sense back. And, you know, I gave my body, like I gave everything I had, like for 3 years there. I took bumps on the cement floor. I took bumps on the stage. On the side of the apron. Everything to, you know, please the fans and give a great show and to have that chance. You know, he's not human, but it's not to have that chance for me, but it's for the people to have like that sort of entertainment and just I like. Give it all. I'm so passionate about this business. I showed my passion also by selling out, you know, the way I told you I sold out. And also I have to be frank with you. I couldn't have sold out if the production was not a good production.
Yeah.
I couldn't sold out if it was a bad roster or any of those things weren't aligned with everything that I was selling, you know, because I was selling my name because I've been running, you know, I've been main eventing a lot of shows here in Montreal on many occasions, like for numerous years. So I know a lot of people, I got a lot of connections. And of course, my name was the big thing, but I mean, I couldn't do it on my own. I'm not crazy. So, and it was a great show all over. Just my match with AJ Francis and me winning the titles and everything. The whole card was great. So, got concussed. I felt from that point I was not treated well because for everything I gave, They just like kind of shoved me into the ambulance. Nobody came with me. No assistance whatsoever. On my own. Put that on your credit card. We'll reimburse you. Like I know how much it's gonna cost. No business card to say, hey, give that address at the hospital to the registration.
So it varies depending on where you are and when you're seen. Yeah. It could be covered or it could be like massively expensive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because that brings me to 2022. I had a staph infection in Florida. And they never paid a dime on it. I spent 4 days at the hospital for a staph infection because I did a fight in the desert of Nevada against Eddie Edwards, where we're fighting on the rocks, and it's a stiff desert over there. You know, there's a lot of rocks. There's not that much sand. It's a hard ground, and we didn't have any props. Like we're fighting right on the rocks, right on the. On the soil there, which is like I scratched my elbow on a rock and I got infected by a staph infection And it did cost me a lot of money, and the company never paid a dime for that, you know. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I don't want to go to the hospital if I feel like I'm not going to be covered by the company. It's going to cost me money again, like it did in Florida. And another time before, I did a dive to the ropes and I banged head with Jake something. And I got like opened up, but, you know, I felt like I finished the match. I did my moonsault. Everything worked out good. Me and Jake, we talk and everything. Physician of the company came up to me. He says, you need to go to the hospital for stitches. And I told him, no, I don't need to go to the hospital for stitches. I said, just put super glue. I've been putting super glue for the last 4 years. Nobody said anything. That night, they wanted me to go get stitches at the hospital. And eventually, he put super glue. And then after he put super glue, and I showed the pictures how I healed up, like in 4 or 5 days, and everything was good, I was asked to go past a medical. Why Jake didn't have to go past a medical, but myself, because I needed like stitches, I needed a medical. So that's things were starting to go kind of wrong. So then they shoved me into, because I was trying to get back to my sense and relax a little bit, and they were pulling on my luggage and let's go get in the ambulance. And then I got in the ambulance. So I did everything on my own. I went through the CAT scan gimmick. And I guess while I was laying there, they checked everything. So came back. Everything was positive. Everything was good. Like they checked my cervical, my head, my neck, and my spine. Came out like clear. And doctor said everything's good, and you can go back to work tomorrow. So I sent them the result by text message. I took a picture of the report, of all the reports, and I sent it to them. And never thought of anything about that after that. Went home. So December 19, I got a text message, are you free for a Zoom call at 3 p.m.? So I got on the Zoom call at 3 p.m. And they said, under our, I don't know how they said that, our physicians, or not our, like they have one, you know, our physicians says that it's, so on discussing with our physician, we decide to pull off all the deals, there's no deal. And I said, what about my paper, you know, because that's, I mean, you promised me, you're not working with me. You're not letting me, you know, after that, I went to see a neurologist in Montreal because it's in Canada with my contact. So I know everything was fine, you know, but I just think they pulled out of the way. I don't know why, but, and on top of that, they asked, now we had the deal, why I was going to extend if I was not taking the other deal. But now that the deal was off, they still wanted me to extend, but I had nothing in return to extend, except the payoff, you know? So why? You're just telling me basically now in that meeting that everything that you're saying, that every promise that you made, everything that you promised me, now it's worth shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's worth nothing. And why should I go to San Antonio now? You're breaking the deal. I'm not breaking the deal. So I booked myself on the 19th for GCW. And I just wanted to say something, maybe the belt. I don't know what I was going to do. But anyways, this is how I felt at that time. I felt I was, anger, I would say, because I should have asked for my release right after Slammiversary, but, you know, I liked everybody around so much that I don't think, I think that's the reason why I didn't ask for my release, and but I could never saw that curveball coming. I could never imagine it in a million years, seriously. It took me by surprise, but I was able to live with certain things, but there's some promises that were made that I was not able to over that fact. And obviously, there's a lot of things that I cannot say, you know, on
sure,
medical side and things like that. But I have my point of view, and I'm very disappointed of how it was, everything was handled by the new management. And that's what I said, that Scott D'Amour was the architect of that locker room and the architect of that production team and the architect of the launching of TNA, you know, in 2024 at Hard to Kill. And I felt like they ran on his gas and they ran with it because they had great talent. But eventually, two riders, Jimmy Jacob left the first one, and then Robert Evans mm-hmm. left. They both left for AEW. And then some other people start leaving, and you could see that, you know, maybe something was wrong, but you always hope that you can make it right, you know.
Yeah.
So I felt that it was justified on my behalf because they work with me during the Verdun Auditorium. They know how driven I am. They know, like, if you put obstacle in front of me, I'm going to go through them no matter what it is, how passionate I am for this business and how much I want to succeed. And for me, not doing anything was like, I'm not just a piece of carpet that you can walk on, you know. I felt I had to stand up for myself. That's all. Yeah.
And how has the reaction been from the company? Have you talked to anybody there since all this is unfolding?
Well, that's the other thing, you know. After they said that, they pulled everything off and everything. Me and Tommy Dreamer had a conversation on the 27th of December on a Rhino show in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And the next day, like, I did everything there, all my crazy stuff and everything. I tore the house down for Rhino's promotion, IWR. And after that, me and Tommy had a discussion. I texted the vice president about maybe an idea. Well, even on the 19th of January, which was like a month after the Zoom call and 3 weeks after my talk with Dreamer, even if I texted them and they said, we'll talk to you next week and we'll figure out things, I still had no communication whatsoever. After the 19th of December, I sent one text message. I got a text back saying we'll talk next week. And after that, we never talked. So all the way to my day on the 19th of January at GCW, I still had no talk for the 23rd of January in San Antonio.
So then
I thought that was hey, that's enough BS right now, you know.
So then what happens. We saw it. Yes. You had a match at GCW and you smashed the TNA Digital Media Championship. Yeah. They have claimed that it was a replica. You have sent me pictures of this, like you've shown me like that it to be an actual title.
Yeah.
But GCW has claimed to me that they knew you were going to do or say something, but they didn't know it was going to be the extent of that. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. They didn't. No, I don't think they expected me to say something. Maybe in their mind, they expected, because they still there was still no communication until then. So they probably knew like I was going to say something. And, you know, when you talk to a couple of friends, it's a small word. You know, they talk to other people.
Sure.
And maybe they had words that I was going to do something. But I never, because this thing just came out of the blue, you know. It's just a last minute thing. I just decided to, you know, put the sledgehammer into the belt. And because first off, you know, when we were discussing Montreal, the international title to me was the main title that I was fighting for, because there's so much lineage into it since 1932 with Lou Tez, Billy Robinson, Dino yes. Bravo, Rick Martel, Mad Dog Vachon, Abdullah the Butcher, Aku, King Tonga, same guy, Samu of the Bloodline original, and on and on and on until PCO. And they were supposed to make that international title, a TNA title, and keep the lineage. And I was proud of that. And here we are, like 6 months later, they still haven't done it. And I asked them, and they said, you know, it takes time to do those things, Carl. Okay, 6 months, yeah, takes time, okay. So they did another belt in less than 4 days for San Antonio, for Stephanie to have one on the divorce, you know. If that's all my divorce going to cost me, the title, that's all right. You know, it's not a very expensive divorce for someone in the business. So they spin the wheels fast enough to get another one belt, another championship or another belt made in less than, what, the 19th? And I was ready for the 23rd in 4 days or whatever, 4 or 5 days. It takes time to do those things, Carl. So I thought the title looked pretty good on the 23rd, you know.
So has anybody from TNA hit you up and said, man, why the hell did you do that? Give us this back. Anything like that?
Nothing.
Okay.
Not a phone call. Nothing from nobody. It's dead silence.
So, hypothetically speaking,
yeah.
if they did, and they said, okay, maybe this could end up pretty good. Maybe we could do business. How would you feel about that?
Well, the trust. How can you trust now, you know? How can you have the trust? I mean,
yeah.
That's tough. It's really tough, you know? Like,
I mean, you did smash their championship belt with a sledgehammer. I feel like there could be some give and take there.
I mean, I think that's the greatest thing. But I don't think they're smart enough to realize how good it is. I don't, because if they were smart, that would have been an angle that we could have done for real. But, you know, they, anyways, I was discouraged, and I'm still, I think they put everything on the red, the casino, you know, on the wheel, and I think it's all on WWE now. And I wish them all the best, seriously. I wish it works well for them. I mean, you can't advance in life. You can't be a victim. People don't care for victim. People like fighter. People like warriors, fighters. People that fight from under. People that never gives up. People that have a goal in mind and they keep going no matter what for it. And that's the way I'm done, and that's the way I am, and that's the way I operate, and that's the way I will continue to operate, and refocus, recalibrate, and charge, and that's it, you know. Mindset warrior, and he's not human. It's a French Canadian Frankenstein, just monster up. And also had like people like attacking me on drawing that house, but I explained everything. And also people saying, yeah, but TNA, they gave you a platform. Yeah, but I worked my ass off for that platform. First, I worked 3 years with Ring of Honor. And then I turned, and I don't want to say that. I don't want to brag about when I say I turned down AEW 3 times. Not that I wanted to turn them down, but the first time that they reached out to me was October 2018. That's a long time ago. Would love to have you on the big matches. Can you save the following? That was May 25th, Las Vegas, August 31st, Chicago, October 1, New York City on a Tuesday. That's one of the texts I got, you know, from AEW. And then I had another one on the November 29th. And
was that it? You said that was in what, 2018?
Yeah, October 2018. For those show and those dates.
So they already knew what they were doing in October the next year by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They knew after All In, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
I guess. So, and then also they said, keep Memorial Day open. So that was in 2018. So,
that's when they're first putting their roster together and making it a reality. Yeah. And I believe you were under ROH contract.
Not yet. Okay. It's gonna come. And then November 29th, 2018. Okay, they texted me. We would really like with you in 2019 and beyond. We want to make you an offer, a money offer on a sidebar. A match should be you and Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that was November 29th. November 27th, I was at St. Clair. I visited, they flew me, ROH flew me from Montreal to Baltimore. They had me going through all St. Clair with the president, the general manager, Greg Gillian, Delirious, the booker. We spent a whole day together. Then they showed me their dojo. I was there with the students and everything. I've seen everybody, all the higher management and everything. And when I left Baltimore, me and Joe, we shook hands on a deal. And I told him, I gave him my word. He said, your phone might ring now and it might have some other offers. I said, I'm happy with the offer. I can promise you that this is like a contract to me. I'm going to shake your hand. You can sleep on it. And then a couple of days after the 29th, that's when AEW wanted me. And after they offered me everything I told you, I said, I'm sorry, guys. I just signed. And I hadn't signed, but I gave my word. I said, I gave my word. It would be not fair to ROH. After they flew me to their office, they made me one of the greatest offer I've had in my career. And promised me tons of things on the creative side too. And I didn't know at that time that AEW was going to become big like they are now. They didn't have the TV deal yet at that time, remember? So I worked for ROH for 3 years. Awesome money. Awesome, awesome money. Then TNA called me when they were done, because after the pandemic, they had to close down. And I started right away with TNA. So I did 3 years with TNA, but also during that time, I had other offers. April 20th, 2022, Carl, Tony Khan, wanted to bring you in May 11th, Long Island, New York. I said, I'm under contract with TNA. They don't want me to go. I mean, I can't do it. I'm under contract. I'm signed. You know, I'm not just a guy who shows up here and there. And then on November 3rd, 2022, I said, hey, Carl, we just asked TNA and Scott Damore if you could work the big Chicago show, which was, what, November 23rd?
Yeah, believe so.
Yeah, and I was under contract with TNA, and I told Scott, unless you can organize some sort of a trade to let me go work there on national TV, I'm going to respect, you know, TNA's decision.
Yeah.
But I ran everything by TNA. You know, I never put my ego in front of the company and said, no, I don't care about TNA anymore. I can have a national TV, and I'm going no matter what, you know. So I didn't do that. And I had a few other phone calls, but sometimes, like, they would call me, like, just a few days before, but I was always under contract with TNA. So it was just... For me and AEW, it was always mistiming. It was always not when they were ready for me, I was signed with ROH. Or if they wanted me to do something, I was signed by TNA. So I was never like a real free agent. So I don't want to say I turned them down three times, because that's not the truth. But by the fact that I was under contract, I had to turn them down. I had no other choice, even though I would have loved that platform. You know what I'm saying? So because it was like, I got attacked on Twitter again by people saying, that's it. He turned AEW three times, you know? And no, it's not like that. It's just that I just couldn't make it. You know, I respected TNA too much, and I had a huge respect for Scott Damore too. It was a different than the new management. You know, just because it gets time to know somebody, you know, and so took me a year to get to know the new management. I was very disappointed at the end.
So how are you feeling now about your future, your direction? I mean, I don't think you're going to be hurting for bookings or anything like that. You're still very in demand.
Yeah, no, like I'm leaving Friday for Dublin. I got Melbourne. I got tons of bookings, but my main thing is like, you know, I have, and I won't mention it, but I have like two big dreams that I still haven't accomplished yet. Only two. I'm just going for it. That's it.
Are you able to share what those are? Are you going to keep those close to the vest?
No, because I feel when you trying to throw it out there, you can have some negativity. You can have like people, you know, saying things. I'd rather keep my energy for myself. I'm going to need a lot of energy and I have to put a lot of efforts into it. It's not easy ones, you know, it's big ones. And that's my story. That's very different than the other stories.
That's fair.
The hell of a story. Yeah.
So as we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to highlight or provide that people may not know or anything you might want them to know?
I just want them to know that I did what I had to do. I have no regret about it. I feel very good about this. A lot of people didn't know. People bought tickets, let's say, in St. Louis to come to see me. It's not my fault if I'm not there, you know, because I had a lot of people touring like swears at me saying, I bought tickets for you. You're not even going to be there. You just smashed that belt. You're an egomaniac, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't judge anything before you know the facts, you know? So, I feel also that I'm in great shape, super healthy, good to go for a great run, you know, and we'll stop when we get there, not before. And also, tremendous support by a lot of the fans. Yeah, I'm touched.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say I appreciate you so much for being so candid and open. I mean, I know a lot of people have wanted to speak with you about this, so I want to thank you very much for giving me so much of your time and explaining in detail like your story of what happened.
Yeah. Any other question that comes to your mind? I hope we cover the whole ground there. I don't want to forget anything. Anything?
The one thing I would ask is like you had mentioned the staph infection.
Yeah.
Had that ever been a thing that you brought up to them? Like, why have I not been reimbursed for this? And if so, what did they say?
Because they would never care about the hospital bill before. That's a new thing. That just started about the before you'd go to the hospital or not, they wouldn't care about that. You know, it's just it was like almost like an indie company almost. But now for I would say maybe after after Chris Bay got injured, everything got more serious, you know. And it's almost to the point now where it's hard to break a nail, you know, the way it is.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. But you're still running a wrestling business. And people are going to break their leg. They're going to separate their shoulder. They're going to get concussed. They're going to look at Bronson Reed, you know. might be out for a year because of his ankles, you know, and good friend of mine. And I was so disappointed when I saw that. Felt hurt for him, you know, hurt in a way that the fact that that was going to push him out of his run, you know, because he wasn't a great, he was having a great, the run of his life, and couldn't be, you know, worse timing for him. But, you know, there's always something good that come out of any adversity. And that's the way I look at my situation. I know something better will come out of it, because, you know, when you fight and when you monster through it and you warrior through it, and good things happen. Sometimes it takes a while. It's a long tunnel, whatever it is. But, you know, I think maybe that's going to open up more doors for me. And the thing that I wanted to make sure I clarified, I didn't want people to think, oh, PCO was mad because before, you know, he didn't get along well with whatever Sean or Kevin. Me and Kev were buddy, and I put the little 10-second clips of his last click this when he said, me and Carl Willett were buddy now. So I did put that on my X account, on my Twitter account, just people know that even Sean, he had helped me out, like in 2009 to a couple of things where he brought some ideas that I had, creative ideas. Laurinaitis wasn't there. And I remember I handed it to Sean, and he didn't put it in the garbage can. He gave it to Vince back then. And because they called me back after that. And Paul Triple H was my, when he came from WCW, whatever I did wrong, you know, I did. I was 25, 26 years old. I was a kid. This time was different, you know, much older. I had time to think. Even if it's not pre-planned, you have scenario A, scenario B. You know, if you decide on the go to go with one scenario, that's because you have thought about it. You have put some thought about it into it. And just to finish, Triple H, when he came from WCW, his first TV taping, he came in. Everybody was taking more room than they actually needed, so he couldn't sit anywhere because he had no friends at all. He just came from WCW. I remember I pushed all my stuff on one side and say, but buddy, you can, you know, have that seat just besides me. And then we start talking, and I think his first 3 or 4 weeks in WWE, like then when he came in 1995, we rode together a lot to a lot of shows. And we joked together, and we had a lot of fun together. So if Paul didn't like me during my my big, let's say, the days that I despise pretty much more, in that time, Kevin and Sean, I was always pretty cool with Razor and Paul, but I think by the fact that they were all together, maybe it didn't help me at the end, but I think it's all water under the bridge now. And I surely didn't want this thing, me smashing the belt, to hurt my reputation with WWE, because it was nothing against them. It was all towards me not pulling out when I should have pulled out.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that's a very important fact.
Well, PCO, I want to thank you so much. Man, that was a journey. I mean, it makes a lot of sense now, because without that context, a lot of people are like, oh, he's just mad and smashing a title belt. And then we get a little more detail. But I want to thank you so much for
and you can cross being so over open with them. Us. You can cross over sure. with them. I'm at ease with that.
Yeah. Any place where the people can support you? I know you've got your Twitter, PCO is not human. You've got your pro wrestling tea store. You got PCOisNotHuman.com as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't really, no, I don't think I don't really, manage that much anymore.
Okay.
It's pretty, it was during the sale when we sold a lot of things during the Montreal event.
Okay.
I closed it down, I think. No, I'm on Facebook. I got two accounts of PCO is not human. No, PCO Pierre Carl Ouellette on Facebook. I got two accounts because every time I go with a commercial account, and if I put like whatever, I don't know. I know they close it down. Like I go up to 20,000-25,000 followers, and just for a stupid reason, they close it down, and I figured, okay, I'm going to just open up like 4,000 or 5,000 maximum at 5,000.
Yep.
And I got two, so it's going to be 10,000 people there. Instagram, I have the last 2 weeks, I've been not posting a lot of things. I've been very, very busy, obviously, but I'm going to go back to post more content. But my Instagram is, you know, pretty strong usually. PCO is not human, and my two Facebook and my Pierre Carl Ouellette. And even though my real name is Carl Ouellette, and Perfect Creation One covers up the Pierre, who was there by WWE as Pierre. So that's why I had stacked my name beside it. So I hate it when someone calls me Pierre.
that's funny.
Yeah. So I think we went around everything, and just wishing everybody all the best. And, you know, a lot of the kids, sometimes when we go to the indie shows, they ask for a lot of advices. And it's always the same story. Whatever, you've been on top, you've been with the biggest company in the world, it's always the same, you know. It's what I've just told you. And you can't be a victim, and you have to, you know, just roll the sleeve and just fight again, and then just go for your dreams. That's it. There's no other way around it.
You heard it here, my friends. Until next time, we are out.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.